I never want to get up here and appear to be like some know-it-all. I found that, I learned this from Brother Hagin years ago. He said, the more that you understand about God's word, the more that you know, the more you understand you don't know. And you always need to be open to learn. And sometimes people automatically just reject it because they're filtering things based on their prior, their upbringing and their religious upbringing and the what they've been taught. And because, you know, faith for anything comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith for anything comes by hearing. If you hear something long enough, some people believe they hear something about somebody died. I saw somebody, they said some actor died. I saw, or actress, or somebody, singer, I think it was Patti LaBelle passed away. It's like, well, fact check this thing. And he posted it and people commented, oh yeah, she was such a this and that. I'm like, dude, she's still living. So fact check when you hear preachers, including this one up here. Right? Like those Berean Christians, Paul said that they searched the scriptures daily, I think it says, to see if those things were so. I mean, that shows that they had a willingness to learn. They had an open mind. And if you've never been to somebody before, or somebody invited you and you came and whatever, sometimes it shocks people, shocks their system. And the religious system, and we're not religious here. I hate religion. You know, I'm seeking for truth. Things I believe now, I didn't believe, not everything, but I've adjusted over the years based on my growth and understanding. And I'm still growing as I see things in the Word of God. So I said all that to say, Lisa interrupted me with that, but I'm gonna piggyback on that. I'm gonna use that right now. Because the point that I was making last week, you'll never be closer to the Lord than you are right now. And that is a paradigm shift for a lot of Christians, because they think, well, I just want to be, and sometimes people ask me, I want to be closer to God. Well, I got good news for you. You're as close as you're ever going to get. And people do, I think I mentioned this last week, about Jesus collapsed the steps. People do whole seminars on praise and worship and how to come into the, how to get into God's presence. When you brush your teeth, you're in his presence. You're in his presence right now. You can't get any closer than in you. I mean, if we would just think about it. Huh?
Yes, right.
Think about it. Where is God? What's his address? Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. You can't get any closer. So what you have to do is acknowledge. We're going to talk about acknowledgement today. We need to acknowledge what's in you. With that in mind, let's get into the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got a good meal cooked up for you. It's not microwaved. It's been, praise God. Somebody asked, like, how? How long did it take you to prepare your message? About 40 years?
Right.
Huh? I thought about this morning. I get up, I got some notes. I got some scriptures I play, but I never know what I'm going to say. And I can get in my own flesh and self-effort and think about, man, I don't have many things written down here. I just got scriptures mainly. So a couple of notes, but I'm like, I get a thought. I get thoughts like y'all get thoughts. Like business people, you get in a meeting like, man, what am I going to say? Rely on the Holy Spirit. God don't tell me a whole lot about my message till I get up here. And I'm prepared, and I come up here, and I'm like, but I get thoughts like, man, what am I going to say? But I get up here, it's just like the Holy Spirit put a battery on my back. And he just downloads stuff to me. God uses me in such a way where I get revelation on my feet. I'd like to know everything I'm going to say, because I like to be prepared. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I saw a really good quote. I think I'll share it with you now about Malika Andrews on ESPN. And she is a commentator on NBA mainly. And they asked her, she does a good job. I mean, she is over this program called NBA Today. And one of her co-hosts asked her, actually one of the people kind of under her, because she's responsible for that show. She asked her, do you ever get nervous? He said, yeah, but what I do is I focus on my preparation. And this is good for anybody in business. You're going into an important meeting. She said, I focus on my preparation. Huh? And nerves, being nervous is a feeling. My preparation are the facts. And I choose to depend on the facts. Amen. I've got in front of people. I've got in front of over a thousand people in Haiti. But I don't know why I'm saying this. Obviously, maybe somebody needs this. Maybe somebody's called to the ministry. Maybe somebody's concerned about what will happen if I stand in front of people. When I was in college, I'm by nature a shy person, and I don't like to get in front of people. If I wasn't pastoring, if God didn't call me to ministry, you wouldn't even know I even existed. I'd be in back somewhere, and I'd come and sit down just like you. I'd come and I'd leave. I'd get involved and stuff and do what I'm told, volunteer, where y'all need me to serve. You know, I just serve, and I don't need to be seen or heard. That's my nature. So growing up, even when I received Jesus as Lord, people would see me with the Bible in the Baptist church, and they would say, "May you call to the ministry?" Because I brought my Bible to church. Amen. But I was like, no, I didn't see myself as a preacher, because I would laugh at that. All I wanted to do was be a businessman, and make a bunch of money and sow into the kingdom of God. That's all I wanted to do, and I'd be happy with that. But God called me. That's a whole nother story. But why am I saying all this? When I was going to college, before I knew anything about being called to the ministry, before I had even given my life to the Lord, I mean, I was deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, as the old song would say. And but I wanted to be in marketing. That was my degree, my business. I could have a BS in marketing. And I knew to be in marketing, and if I got in sales or something, I would have to be in front of people. So I put myself in organizations like Student Marketing Association, And at that time, I don't know if they still do. I think they do. At Ball State University, the Better Business Bureau is run by the business student, the students in the business department. So I was promotion director for the Better Business Bureau for the city of Muncie, which was run by the students, and I was one of the students. So I said, yeah, that's going to help me to speak, because I would have to go to, back then they had this little carousel, these little slides, presentations, that's way before PowerPoint and all that kind of stuff. So I would stand in front, and that was my introduction to being in front of people. But I was in front of third graders, so it was a little easy, third, fourth graders. But put me in front of people, man, I'd be as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And I just didn't want to be in front of people. But that was my way of doing it. I got in the Student Marketing Association so I could get, be a little bit more outgoing, things like that. But when I got called, and I knew that I was called, and how I knew is I was reading, I didn't mess this whole message up, see? I was reading, is this okay with y'all? Okay. I was reading, and all I wanted to do, some of you heard my testimony, all I wanted to do, now I wanted to be a businessman, I told you about that, but also I just wanted to share with people what I got from God, what I was learning. I learned about faith. The word of faith, praise God, Romans 10:8. What does it say? The word is near you in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach. Man, I was so excited about the word of faith. I would share it with anybody. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking with tongues. Oh, man, anybody I could find. You filled with the Spirit? I was just in church. I was doing what I was telling you that I said I would do if I wasn't preaching. That's, I did that. I did all that. I served. And I got in trouble. I'll tell you that in a second. Got in trouble with the pastor. Friend of mine to this day, Dr. T. Garrett Benjamin. He's over there chilling in California now, enjoying, retirement and things like that. But at the time, I was growing so much, I would get in on anything I can get in on, Bible study. I gave my life to the Lord at his church, this Light of the World Christian Church. Now, it was then Second Christian Church in Indianapolis. Y'all Indianapolis campus, shout out to y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all went, Ernie Barnett went there. Ernie and Chris went there. Mm-hmm. Ernie, man, me and Ernie and Chris go way back. As a matter of fact, isn't that something? Ernie and Chris, they're regulars on the live streams, serve. They've been serving for so long. They are generals, I'm telling you. I'm singling, there's other people, but I'm singling them out because they were part of my journey. They discipled me way back then. At Second Christian Church. Now, they're serving under me. Still doing the same thing, serving with a smile on their face. Walking in that word. Slaying giants for 40, 50 years. Man, isn't that good? Shout out to Chris and Ernie. Man, goodness. I always have a place in my heart for them because they help disciple me. Yeah. And think about the humility of sitting under me now and learning from me instead of saying, oh, shoot, I know more than him. I remember when. They don't even talk about that stuff. Huh? They show up and serve with a smile on their face. Where did I leave off in my story? Okay, I was going to Second Christian Church. Yeah, I would get in on everything I could get in on. And how I got in trouble was they didn't teach being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues. Dr. Benjamin didn't teach that at that time. And he was way up in that, and the denomination was Disciples of Christ. And so I was getting people filled with the Spirit because I'm learning, you know, from Fred Price, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, man. And so anybody I can find, I would love to lay hands on people, get them filled with the Spirit, and watch them speak in a heavenly language, man. I would do house calls. Amen. And so, and I'm not married at this time. Carla was checking me out in this process because she knew me back when I was something else. And she waited to see if I was real. Roosevelt Barnes, one of our members now. He don't come to church, but he's we working on that. Huh? He's one of my best friends. And we talk all the time. And he travels, and he's a sports agent, and he got his cars full of Word CDs. He stay in that Word. And we talk about it. He'll call, hey, I have a question. Pastor, you got to explain this to me. And we'll talk for hours sometimes. But Ro, he's a good dude. His partner, Eugene Parker, I think about Eugene all the time, and one of my best friends as well. We was tight. And so Eugene was one of the top, they ranked him, I think, third top agent in the NFL. And Roosevelt at the time, Roosevelt played for the Detroit Lions before he partnered with Gene to become an agent. And so Eugene discipled Roosevelt and invited him to come here. And Roosevelt said, who the preacher over there? and he said, Al Jennings. He said, Bougie? He said, that was my nickname. He said, man, I got to see this. He'll tell people that I knew him when he was Bougie. I knew him when he blah, 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 you know, all that. I'm not going to bore you with that stuff. That was a whole nother life. I don't know that person anymore. I become a new creation. Yeah. So he came over and he said, man, can't nobody tell me that's not real because I knew him when he was Bougie. And see, he saw me preaching this word, been here ever since. Isn't that something? But back then, I got in trouble. Y'all thought I forgot. I didn't forget. I got in trouble because the pastor, he didn't teach being filled with Spirit. He invited me to go to lunch. And we went to lunch. And he said, what is this about speaking in tongues? Now, he knew something about it because his grandma was Pentecostal. But he was quizzing me over lunch. This guy pastoring 1,000 people, what are you bothering with me for? But I went, he said, what is this? All I did was show him the word. I said, well, Acts 2:4 says this, Acts 10:44-46, Acts chapter 19, verse. I just walked him through the scriptures. See, you can't argue with the scripture. This man been to seminary. He's got a PhD, earned PhD. And I just talking scriptures to him. Talking about what I learned. All I did back then, and I wish you'd do it now. You don't have to be called to do this. Take what you know about God and share it with somebody else. And that's really, I'm going all the way around to tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm still doing the same thing. It used to be one or two people, my friends. I told you a story about how I went back to Ball State University, and they wanted to see if it was real. It was a whole room of them I used to sell drugs to, and they thought that at the end I was going to bring out some drugs because they didn't really understand that this was real what had happened to me. I had a room full of them. room full of heathen, and I share the gospel with them. I share with anybody. Some of you remember Spat. God, I shared the gospel with him. He loved me. You know, Speck had a different kind of life, but he loved me because I went to the hospital one time and prayed for him, and he got healed. And every time he got in trouble, he would call for me. He didn't go to church. He wanted nothing to do with church. He seen a lot of them preachers in the street with him. I mean, Speck was like that old school, you know, diamond in the back, southern rooftop. Digging the scene with the gangster lean, huh? So I remember I was in a room with him, me and Carl Underwood. And we shared the gospel. Then one guy, he got mad. It was a stack of money. A stack of money on the table. And Speck, he just listened. We just shared the gospel. And then one guy got upset. He said, I don't know about, you got all these denominations, you know, and look at this money. If we count this money, you know, it all come out, everybody account, it all come out the same. But you got Baptists and Lutherans and all that kind of stuff. And he was all upset, and Speck said, man, be quiet. And just listen. He made the man stop. But shoot, I wasn't scared of nobody. I'd go in any environment and share the word of God. And, you know, Speck, at that time, you know, he didn't receive, but he listened. Another business owner came over to my house. And he owned a coffee shop. And he and his wife and my coffee bar in the basement shared the gospel with him. We become friends. He liked me. He listened. His wife was about to receive. I could tell. I knew it. But he shut it down. He's like, Harry, we're just not going to do that. You know, he was respectful, but said, we're not going to do that. He left. Saw him a few years later. He said, man, you told me not to start that nightclub. I lost everything. I lost my wife. He said, we should have listened to you down there in the basement. See, I'm not responsible who's going to receive, who's not going to receive. You know what? I've had stories of people who did receive, but I tell you what, your responsibility is to share the gospel. Just share. Take what you know about God and share it with somebody else. So bring them to church. I bring people. I tell people, look, here, you, man, come over here. Sometimes people say, oh, man, you know, Dr. Benjamin, he drove a Mercedes. So he drive a Mercedes. You know, that pastor drive a Mercedes. I said, man, all I know, I was blind, and now I see. I'm being helped. You know, I'm not worried about what kind of car he's driving. You understand? I'm concerned about his car and what's coming out of his mouth. Now, remember, we went to lunch, and he listened. But then he called me in his office. Y'all thought I forgot about me being in trouble. I did, but I'm coming back to it. He called me in his office because I had a Bible study. Some of these people got filled with the Spirit, and I was sharing about the word of faith. We had like 40 people in a house over there on Fall Creek. Ernie and Chris, I think, peeped in on it. Guy Hayes, a good friend of mine, Guy Hayes, Marion Kelly, some of you guys would come over, and it was at, Chris, who's that? That's house we was at, man. Rick. We were at Rick's house. Can't think of his last name right now. Indianapolis. Chris, tell y'all. But Mother Jones, guys, Mother Jones, a seasoned believer. You need to have some seasoned believers in your life. Man, this is different today, isn't it?
Yes, it's good.
You need to have some seasoned, pick up whatever you can pick up. You need to have some seasoned believers in your life. And the pastor heard about this Bible study. It was a sanction. This taught me a valuable lesson. I didn't get called to lunch this time. Brenda, I got called into the office. We wasn't eating this time, Joanne. We going in the office. I was like, what do I do now? And he said, man, you know, you having this Bible study, it's not our Bible study. You know, you need to shut that thing down, man. Now I'm young, see. I'm learning some things, but I'm not mature. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And don't get puffed up when you learn and you think you know more than the pastor and things like that. You might know more. Every one of you, I guarantee you, knows something that I don't. Okay? Just stay in your lane. Huh? You can learn, be, and grow. It's an arrogance to think you, man, I outgrown the pastor. You never outgrow a pastor that God places you under. First of all, your thinking is all twisted. It's like you don't even understand how this thing works. That's a whole nother story. So, I didn't want to shut it down, my immature self. Rick, the host, he said, man, who is he, man? He shouldn't be doing this, man. Because people get, listen, understand that. Now, people not getting demons in this place, in our study. I mean, people getting blessed, people getting filled with the Spirit, people learning the Word. We having a wonderful time. Great fellowship. We enjoyed each other. Mother Hayes spoke up, the seasoned believer. She said, the pastor, we're under his ministry. Because these people didn't come from me going out and bringing people. These are people that are all in the ministry. These are his sheep. Well, no, they're God's sheep. No. I understand that, but the under-shepherd is the pastor, and these were his sheep. Mother Hayes said we should shut it down. I didn't want to, but I knew she was in my heart. See, follow the Holy Spirit. I knew she was right. You know what we did? We shut it down. Now, that didn't stop me from individually sharing the gospel with people being filled with Spirit. A few years later, I moved back to Fort Wayne. I don't know what part of the process this was. I went to Bible school, but I heard something. Chris and Ernie know about it. Dr. Benjamin went to, because he was very high up in that Disciples of Christ denomination, he spoke in front of they had one of these Disciples of Christ conventions. And he spoke in front of all these people at their convention. You know what he talked about? Why it's important to be filled with the Spirit to speak with tongues. Huh? Stuff I got questioned about. Now he's preaching. And so God used me in a small way or whatever to help him. And man, I was so blessed when that happened. Amen. Huh? Rick King, yes. Shout out to Rick King. Praise God. I told Chris I'd like her to go show me where that house was because I want to go see that house again. Okay. Shantae, you good? All right, man. All right. Everybody stand up. Greet somebody real quick and sit back down. I still got 9 minutes left. There's no way I can start this. Oh, greet somebody. All right. Okay. Wow. You know what? You know what? There's no way I can't even do this justice to start it. But did you get something out of this?
Yes.
Be where God wants you to be. Be where God has called you to be.
Yes.
And one thing I learned years ago is in James, it talks about being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And be drama free. Did you grab my phone? Let me say swift to hear,
slow to speak,
slow to wrath.
Slow to wrath.
Oh, yeah, this is a good opportunity for me to share with you before I get in trouble with Jeremiah Johnson. We're going to have Word on the Beach. Jeremiah Johnson, who's ministered here before, and he has a conference at Jekyll Island on the beach. It is a faith-filled family retreat by the ocean. Yeah. We got Jim Richards. Anybody get the book we had? I don't know if we still have it. The Gospel of Peace. Jim Richards. Anyway, he's one of the speakers. Jeremiah Johnson. Nicole Marbach, give you some people that's been here to speak. Nicole Marbach, she's ministered here. Jeremiah Johnson, the host, he's ministered here. Sandra McCollum, that's what made me think of this, because I'm going to read something by her. Sandra McCollum is Joyce Meyer's daughter. She's good friends of Carl and I's. Such a sweet young lady. And so this conference, where is this? But anyway, it's June 18th. Through the 22nd. You're going to have time to be at the beach. You're going to have a free fellowship dinner on the night of the 18th. So Jekyll Island, that's in Georgia, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And also, I'll give you the dates of another conference I'm speaking at. They're putting me in a Carl and I in a hotel. They wanted us to honor me, and it's a hotel that said we're going to have you an oceanfront view in Pensacola, Florida. And somebody's going to be talking about my book. They ordered a bunch of books and of the gospel sketch notes. She calls it Gospel University. And she loves that book, but they're going to be talking about that. I'm looking for, I shared this on my page. Where are you? Oh, here it is. Sandra McCollum, this is Joyce Meyer's daughter. She says, the devil, I reposted this, it's so good. The devil is going to pull out every trick in his playbook to get us mad about something. I'm about being drama free now. To get us mad at something or at someone, So we don't just continue in that place of enjoying our relationship with God and spending the moments of our day living in his love, which, by the way, is a very empowering place to live life from. God wants us to stay in that childlike place of innocence in our view of life and others, believing the best so we can be oblivious to the drama that surrounds us and enjoy life and life abundantly. Think of a child and how oblivious they are to the problems their parents are facing. They just keep dancing through life. They keep playing and keep enjoying. Sandra says, I refuse to live any other way. God translated me almost like into a different dimension of living in peace back in 2012 when I had that encounter with Jesus and began to understand God's love for me and his grace towards me, and I refused to go back to the low level of living I endured before that day. And some of you, I don't know if we still have a book back there, Marva, I Tried Till I Almost Died. Think about somebody, she's raised in Joyce Meyer's house, for crying out loud. Can you imagine the expectations put on a child? She's growing up and she's trying to be a good Christian, and she's like, I quit. She's quit. I quit trying to be a good Christian. That's like she couldn't take it. She could come home and her husband and kids didn't know what was going to walk through that door. And so she just quit. She got a revelation of God's unconditional love and grace. And she stopped trying to please God and started living her life with the understanding that God is already pleased with her. She quit trying to get God's approval and started living life understanding that she was already approved by God. And I'm loved by you. My identity is found in you. I'm approved. I'm accepted. I got a ring on my finger, robe on my shoulder. Jordans on my shoes on my feet. Go on to say, she says, writing this from a place of personal experience where I was recently tempted to fall for the devil's invitation to live in drama. And she says in all caps and a little smiley face icon, no thank you. I'm not going to live in nobody's drama. I'm not going to live in religious drama, personal drama, politics drama. I'm not going to engage in that. I'm going to live my life in his love. Enjoying my relationship with God. Huh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. This has been different today. In a natural, I would want to apologize. Because I feel like I didn't do nothing. But I believe somebody, if you got something out of this, encourage me. Amen.